Affirmative.
Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage, so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption of sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer." And the steward said within himself, "What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, "How much dost thou owe my master?" And he said, 100 jars of oil. He said to him, "Take thy bond and sit down at once and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much dost thou owe?" He said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, "Take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world in relation to their own generation are more prudent than are the children of the light. And I say to you, my friends, for yourselves, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I bring to you the points. There will be catechism class this morning for the children. That is, if the weather permits it. If the weather gets bad in the meantime, we will cancel a catechism class. We have begun work on our roofs, and it's going to take a little time to get it done. It's been hired, of course, and if anything is out of place or out of order, I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but step carefully around the buildings if you see that there's need, especially watch the children, that they don't get themselves in any kind of trouble. Tomorrow, as also today, at 5 o'clock, for those of us who live close by, we will have Vespers at 5 o'clock with benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament following. Okay. Father Francis reminds me, he's my guardian angel, not today, but tomorrow. There will be no 5 o'clock Vespers or benediction today. Vespers would be at the usual time when we do not have benediction. I would like for us to take a moment's time to pray for the people who have been killed and who are suffering from injuries from the recent attack in one of our leading cities in the world. But let us not restrict our prayers just for the numbers that we know that have died on that occasion. Every day, everywhere, and in most places, in some places in particular, there are as many that are dying, for whatever reason, that are dying and killed. So let us just remain seated, my beloved people, and let us pray for these people. And let us be grateful to Almighty God that He has protected us and that we are safe in His protection. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Tomorrow is the feast of our Holy Father, Saint Benedict. And for us, it is a large feast. Now, let me make one point, my beloved people. Any time that I use the pronoun us or we or you, please be constantly mindful of the fact that we, you, us, or any other pronoun means just that. You are our family. And anything we do or say, any prayers that we offer, they're for us. And anytime I say us, it means us, all of us. You belong to us. This is our little family. And that's the way it is. And for us, tomorrow is a big feast day. And we must pray to Saint Benedict most specially for this occasion. Now, I realize that for most of you, to tomorrow, particularly because of the weather conditions as they are, it will be rather difficult, if not impossible, for you to be here for what we hope to accomplish tomorrow. But at least those of you who cannot come tomorrow, which is totally understandable, then I would like for you to spend at least a few minutes of your time saying a prayer for this young man, John is his name, who is going to make his final vows tomorrow. These vows are his lifetime vows. They're solemn, they're serious, they're perpetual, and his commitment is total. It has to be total. There can be no part left out. There can be no part left for him. He tomorrow must give everything of himself to God. You might say that this is a measure, or another way of describing dictatorship, under the rule, under the heel of a dictator. No, not at all. That's where, when we speak of love, That's where love comes in. That this has to be done for love. It has to be done freely. There can be no coercion. There can be no insistence. It has to be on a personal, in my own case, it has to be my gift to God. Tomorrow, it must be John's gift to God. Not to me, but to God. It has to be total. It has to be complete. It has to be absolute. It has to be perpetual. There can be no taking back once it is given. And as you see some preparations, and as you see this black cloth on the floor, tomorrow, John will die. And he will die to self. And tomorrow, he will be reborn in Christ. And this has been estimated by theologians as a second baptism, which, if should he die, in fact, while under that cloth, there is immediate entrance into heaven, as just after the pouring of the water in baptism. That's how serious it is. Now, in normal times, this was always something worth thinking about for young men. And in normal times, even normal young men had difficulties with this. Imagine what the average young man who walks the streets of today's world, what he would have to say or think about such an idiocy, because only an idiot would do such a thing as that. This man has stepped above that idiocy. There have been difficulties, yes indeed. And it has to be trimmings, yes indeed. Any bush that is worth the space that it takes on the earth has to be trimmed. And if the bush could speak, it would say, ouch, it hurts. But unless the bush is trimmed, it will not bear fruit. And the vine master, the bush master, does not trim the bush because he dislikes the bush, but to the extent that he loves the bush and what the bush is able to produce, to that extent will he give time, labor, effort, and pruning. And so it is in a monastery. The last two or three weeks we have had some articles in our bulletin concerning monastic life. I think there may be one or two more that are on the way. I'm not sure at the moment. But living in the monastery, my beloved people, I think we all have the feeling, or convent, we all have the feeling that we don't put up with the same kind of problems that you put up in your daily lives. And so we worked this week, and we came up with a little design that's on the bulletin. And I draw your special attention to that design on the bulletin. And in that design, in the bulletin, it shows a monk, of all things, I have been associated with an anvil, and it shows a monk there working at an anvil. In the other picture, on the other side of that design, it shows maybe the same monk, maybe not, a monk at prayer. Very serious men giving very serious effort. Now, please notice who is looking over the corner of that picture. Please notice. My beloved people, the devil is after everything you do. I don't care who you are. But for goodness sake, don't be foolish as to think that the devil stays on that side of this communion rail. If you take the same devil that we're talking about and multiply him by 10,000 legions, then that's the devil that's after us. Everything we do, everything we look at in our prayer or whatever, the devil is there. I don't mind telling you this as a priest. I say it for myself. I say it because it has been said to me by other priests, priests who are certainly a lot holier than I can claim to be. Do you want to know when some of the most serious temptations and bad thoughts attack a priest? At the moment of the consecration of the Mass. That moment of consecration at the Mass, my beloved people, we take it, I think, sometimes for granted. But there is no power, there is no force on this earth. All the forces combined, from the beginning of time to the present moment, all that effort and force and power combined into one force and one power and one effort, none of them, all of them combined, do not equal the power of that one man who is standing there, unobserved, not making any particular show of anything, but that one man literally reaches up with his hand and plucks God and brings him down to earth and puts God on that altar. There is no power, no cosmic power that can equal that. Is it any wonder that the devil is at work at such times and tells the priest, this is stupid. What do you think you're doing? You know you're not doing anything. You know that this is not possible. You know this is a myth. You know you are too intelligent to believe in such foolishness as this. I will not speak of the other thoughts that can be so unspeakable that can come into the mind at such a moment. We, my dear people, are talking about something that is beyond us, beyond me, beyond us all. So, what this man, John, is doing tomorrow is something of a similar nature. And its importance cannot be overestimated. Therefore, I ask you to pray for him. Just because you see our sisters and all, when I speak of us, I'm taking certainly the sisters into consideration. Don't think for a second otherwise. Incidentally, I ask for your special prayers at the moment for a wonderful young lady who is giving some very, very, very serious thought of coming here to join our sisters very soon. Pray for her. Therefore, my beloved people, we need your prayers. You are here for us. We are here for you. And we are one family. What we do, the world cannot comprehend. The world does not want to comprehend. That is why, my beloved people, you can see our world involve itself again and again and again and again in what happened last week. That men, now talk about commitment. Talk about commitment. Here I am. I'm alive. And I'm carrying death on my shoulder. And I am going to destroy and kill. And I will kill myself in the process. What power the devil doth hold over us. And imagine if we can go back to the time that drove those airplanes into those buildings. Imagine the commitment of the man who was holding the steering wheel of those airplanes, who was driving it straight into his death. Which one of us in here has got that kind of power in our commitment? But fortunately, our God does not ask this of us. We must give our lives, yes, if you're called upon to do so, but in a different way. Therefore, let us pray for our poor, sick world. It has lost all contact with the divine. And the divine means nothing to the world. We, you, know. Because you come here, you're not one smidgen better than anybody. Let's not make that mistake. We are all sinners. And we are all here to work to save our immortal souls. And it is my business, because of something in God's mind, I don't know, it is my business to see to it that this must take place, and that each of you, each of us, will all be together in paradise with him eventually. I will not talk anymore this morning. I suggest that because of the circumstances outside, that you go home quickly. There are those on this side of the fence that tell you, don't worry, it's not going to be too bad. It's going to do this, it's going to do that, it's going to do the other thing. So don't worry. It's going to be just fine. Then on this side of the fence, there are those who are saying, it's going to blow the roof off of your house, so be prepared. So there, we're caught in the middle. So I'm telling you, go home and be careful on the road. Tomorrow, if the weather is bad and it's raining severely, which they say you can believe, if anybody who is living at some distance wants to come here, think twice and be very careful on the road. And I bless all those that might be near and dear to you, especially who might be in the path of this danger that's upon us at the moment. May Almighty God bless us and them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Be reminded, my beloved people, that this candle that's burning here, it burns all the time. That's our storm lamp. That's our lamp that burns perpetually, that God will protect us from storm. And we also, certain days we can't do it because of the ceremonies and the liturgy, but we also have a special oration against storms. This morning, however, which don't say it on Sunday normally, but this morning we said, we will say, we have said, we will say the oration, Adomo, against storms for all of us. May God protect you, protect those you love, and pray much, my beloved people.